Well, I said it because we can make it, we can have an impact on the environment and on the people. And if I can contribute in making a better world, why shouldn't I not be excited about that?
Hi everybody, welcome to Inner Podcast. My name is Khalil Bawer, head of Espas Lab, Swiss Post's Innovation Lab. Today we will talk about DNA. Chasing killers via their DNA is quite common. But did you know that you can use the same procedure for your supply chain as well? Michaela Poudou, co-founder and CEO of Helixa, and her team do that in the fashion industry, but also in other industries. Michaela studied material science in Rome, finished her PhD in chemistry engineering as a Marie Curie grant at ETH, and a few months later, she co-founded Helixa. How she uses this approach and how she makes a business out of it and why she wants to make a difference with that? Well, she will tell you now. Special shout out to the female founders team. Subscribe to the Inner Podcast in your favorite podcast app. And now, enjoy this episode with Michaela. Hi, Michaela. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Today, we will chat about DNA. So, you did your... In your studies, your PhD, you work quite a lot with DNA. Did you ever use your own one?
Correct. I've been working a lot with DNA, but it has always been synthetic DNA. So never DNA extracted from a human being or animal or anything. So also not my DNA.
Wait, you were not allowed to do that?
No, it was just out of the scope of the project. The idea was to use some small DNA sequences that could function as a identifier for products, and that wouldn't have any biological function. So in that sense, synthetic DNA would just do well.
Just in a nutshell, what does Helixa do?
So Helixa provide solutions to mark and trace material from the raw stage until the finished product. So as an example, we can trace cotton from the farm of origin until it reaches your wardrobe in the form of a t-shirt, right? In a way that we can trace back the origin and also prove integrity and authenticity of products.
You already mentioned that you worked on artificial DNA and one example in the fish industry to track the supply chain. Why is that important?
So... nowadays, consumers more and more demand for more transparency about the origin and integrity of products. And maybe you are one of them too. I don't know. I am. So I am careful and try to make sure that what I'm buying, what I purchase, does not have an impact on the environment or on people. And this demand is growing. And therefore, brands need to make sure that they fulfill the needs of the consumers, and together with consumers there are also NGOs, governments that are now asking for more transparency. So it's a global trend, and in this sense what we are doing fits very well in the picture.
Do you know why consumers are more and more interested in this?
I think we see it as a general trend. We see that environmentalism is becoming more and more a focus, not just in the fashion world, but I mean, it is in the, I mean, most of what consumers are demanding are part of the, anyway, global sustainable development goals. So it's what also is in the company's agenda, and therefore I see it as a global trend or a global need, and consumers' purchase a bit kind of reflect that.
Why is it important for you? You already mentioned that you are looking for, and that it's an important issue for you, that you know what kind of clothes you buy and if they're sustainable and if they do not destroy the environment. Why is this an important issue for you, that you spent quite a lot of time of your life and your time in this topic?
Yeah, I think it's I mean a great contribution that we can make. So we can bring transparency into global supply chains, not just fashion and textile supply chain, but I mean in the future probably even food or also supply chains of other products. And I mean I believe that in this sense we can we can make an impact not just on society by empowering consumers and workers, but also obviously on the environment, because by bringing transparency into supply chain, you also have visibility on certain production standards, on certain production processes. So you ensure that the whole supply chain is more sustainable.
But why is it important for you?
Well, I said it because we can make we can have an impact on the environment and on the people. And if I can contribute in making a better world, why shouldn't I not be excited about that?
But I was wondering if there was an experience which you had probably a couple of years ago, which you really made this click in your head, in your mind, and said, okay, I need to work on that.
Yeah, I think the more I've been working in the field of supply chain, the more I've seen that my own habits have changed. So I've become more and more careful again in when buying, when purchasing, in checking where the product comes from. I mean, also habits would not compromise the environment. So for instance, I switched my diet to vegetarian some years ago, and similar, I mean, what happened with my wardrobe. So before I had a lot more clothes and with unknown origin, and now I mean I really make sure that I buy less, and I make sure that what I buy has not a strong impact on the environment and on the people.
Do you know what kind of problems brands, companies in general have if they do not pay attention or probably do not invest in traceable supply chain?
There are different things that can happen. So basically, if you look at the way currently products are traced, companies you rely mostly on paper trail still, and paper trail, as you can very easily understand yourself, it can be very vulnerable to frauds, as the information that is on the paper trail can be manipulated. It's possible to replicate documentation or use it in an authorized way. So in this sense, what can happen is, for instance, a certain lot of material, like of cotton, can be sold as certified while it is not, and so on. So these things happen routinely, unfortunately. So if you don't monitor carefully the supply chain and the material, you end up selling something that is not necessary what it is claimed to be, and this comes all, I mean, with the risk for the company, for the brands and the manufacturers. For the manufacturers, the risk of being blacklisted in case there is a scandal for a false product claim, and for brands also, I mean, the risk to lose the trust and of the end consumer. So it is very important for the brand to ensure the loyalty of the consumer, to be transparent in the way that the end consumer, I mean, trust the brand and continue buying the products.
So what I learned so far is that you spend quite a lot of time and during the research and seeing how supply chains work. You learned that there are many ways of how you can change or duplicate or manipulate things that you should probably do. And I also learned that, yeah, the consequences of doing such things is that you lose the trust of your consumers, that you lose the trust in your brand, and therefore we have this, like you own described on your own behavior, this global trend of sustainable solutions, of solutions that will not destroy our environment, and that you want to be sure that the things you buy or you eat, that they, that there's a sustainable supply chain and a sustainable production behind that. And this is why you decided, okay, I would like to make a difference and provide a solution which makes it possible to really trace the supply chain and give consumers some kind of tool to make visible, understandable, all right, what I just buy here, for example, a shirt, it is not from somewhere where people are not probably paid well or destroys the environment or something like that, but I know where it's from and I can understand and see how it was produced, right?
That is correct. So in the end, we want to bring transparency, and everyone benefit from transparency. So all the actors in the supply chain, and certainly the end consumer. However, we have not developed a solution that is meant for the end consumer. I mean, it definitely benefit from it. But we work with brands and manufacturers, so we help them substantiating your claims, because mostly the claims are only on paper, and therefore they cannot be proven by other means that are basically that a certificate, a documentation. So what we do, provide them with a forensic proof of their claims. So there is no doubt that was, in this sense, there is not going to be doubt that what is in the end of the final label is really what it is. So we ensure that at any step in the supply chain, the claims basically correspond to the truth of the product, and then this certainty is passed on to the end consumer by the brand, and the communication to the end consumer is done using more standard system like label or barcode or QR code, and sharing also the data, the supply chain data, with the end consumer. But it's not the end consumer that can do a test and use our technology directly.
That was a good addition. Thank you for that. Tell me about the solution for non-chemists like most of our listeners that you develop. How does that DNA tracing or DNA tracking work? Yeah.
So it is actually very easy. So we use DNA as an identifier for product. So it's like if we provide every product with a unique DNA identity. So just like humans, like each of us has a unique DNA, and we do the same with products. So we provide product with a DNA which is unique for that, for a specific producer, for a specific manufacturer, brand, product line, even lot. And the way this is applied on the product is by actually embedding it at the material level. So if we go back to the example of a t-shirt, basically on the cotton fiber, we spray some of this formulation, which is actually a liquid formulation that contains this unique DNA marker. The marker stick to the fiber throughout the whole supply chain in a way that at every each individual step, you can verify the product and always identify that specific marker, and therefore identify the specific producer, that specific brand, or whatever that marker is associated with.
How can you identify DNA? How does it work?
Yeah, so the test, again, it's a forensic test. So in order to do the identification of the product, we flush out the marker out of the product itself using kind of a syringe-like system without damaging it, surely. And then basically we analyze the liquid using a device, which is basically a portable PCR machine. So the analysis is based on the polymerase chain reaction technique. And in this sense, it's extremely accurate, specific, and reliable.
So as of today, just to give us an impression, for how many shirts can you produce this artificial DNA and the hydride solution?
So we don't have actually a limitation on the amount of t-shirt that we can trace, and I'm going to explain you why. So the DNA can be detected at extremely low level. So that means that you need part per million or part per billion of this marker in order to be identified. So basically, for us to trace, to give you an indication, for us to trace a ton of cotton, that means that we need 1 gram of our material. So it is extremely, extremely low concentration. So we don't have really limitation with the scale that we can trace.
How much time does it take to produce, for example, 1 gram of this DNA?
This is, a procedure that we do in our laboratories and takes few days, depending on the scale and on the purpose. We have different formulations for different materials. So in a few days, we prepare the formulation.
Okay. What kind of material can you work with?
So we have a big focus in the textile industry, and there we can trace pretty much all the natural and textile fibers. So cotton, wool, feather, silk, polyester products. And then we also applied on some precious materials like diamonds, emerald, and other gemstones, gold. We also work with some agrochemicals and also are exploring the food traceability business. So there is a really broad applicability. That makes it also very versatile.
For example, this 1 gram of DNA, how much would it cost, roundabout?
So it really depends on the application. So for every product is a bit different, and is a bit also the cost also varies based on the not only on the product but also on the volumes we are talking about. If it's a small brand tracing a collection, or if it's a big Indian manufacturer and tracing is all yearly production, so that can vary a lot. If we look at really the industrial scale, the impact in the textile, maybe that's I think it's easier for people to relate. So in the fashion world, on a big scale, this can have an impact which is as low as 5 cents, basically per T-shirt.
I think everyone can imagine if you have 5 cents for a shirt and how many shirts you can sell just to have, if you just everyone have a close look at your own clothes, you can calculate yourself how much brands might need to spend on that.
So would you pay 5 or 10 cents more for traceability?
Sure.
So you are also a responsible consumer then.
Thank you, I appreciate it. If you would like to tell with which brands or companies are already using your solutions?
Yeah, so we work with several brands and manufacturers in the fashion world, textile world. We also work with some Swiss companies. We started off with two Swiss manufacturers, Sperry and Weber, and actually we implemented in their supply chain our solution. They were at the very beginning, they were among our first partner or client, and then also with some brands like FTC Kashmir. We had a collaboration with Nikin. So this is a bit the Swiss, let's say, landscape. And then we work with brands internationally in Europe. At the moment, the solution is deployed in Europe, in China, India, and Pakistan. And some of the big manufacturers there work with us in China as well. Beside individual manufacturer brands, we were also part of some multi-stakeholder initiatives involving many partner, and like the Organic Cotton Accelerator, CNA Foundation, some Indian manufacturer like Pradipa Syntex, so some names that are quite known in the industry. We are also part of a UNICE project, so the United Nations Commission for Europe, aim at enhancing transparency and traceability of value chain in the garment sector. And there again, several industry partners and brands are involved, like Hugo Boss, Burberry, and so on.
I guess there are different ways to really track your supply chain. What other ways are there, and why is DNA probably the best one from your point of view?
Yeah. So you have still the most used way is relying on paper trail, the risk is quite obvious that documentation can be replicated, can be misused. More recently, blockchains have been introduced as a main to record blockchain data and blockchain transaction in a way that the all information is transparently shared and cannot be altered. And this is a great tool. I mean, not only blockchain, there are now different digital system that can be implemented to improve supply chain traceability, make it quicker, make the data access quicker, so connecting nearly in real time all the dots in the supply chain. So supply chain will greatly benefit from any digital solution which can be implemented. Nevertheless, there you face the risk that the flow of digital supply chain data will be more and more disconnected from the real products, and so that you are going to face the junk in, junk out problem. That is basically if you're not sure about the reliability of the input data, then you're also not sure about the output data, right? So the output is just as reliable as the data that you put into it. And in this sense, having a reliable data to input into a system like a blockchain is of utmost importance to ensure, again, supply chain visibility. And that's what we can do. So in this sense, we can support and complement blockchain by providing reliable data that are always coming from forensic tests done right on the product.
Just of curiosity, especially in terms of when it's a really people-to-people business, how do you start with the very first one? How did you guys find this very first customer who was willing to say yes? Let's have a try.
I mean, we typically strategically target those companies that have a much higher focus on sustainability and on innovation. So companies that are already doing quite some work to bring in new elements that contribute to have their supply chain or product more sustainable, and also that are not shying away from bringing in new solutions and are willing also to invest for those solutions. So maybe it's at the beginning a bit of a premium segment that we have been targeting, and now we are expanding toward more of a mass production. So the first clients were more in the premium luxury segment.
Okay, and how did you find this premium luxury segment company?
It's like events or private network.
This was how it worked. Yeah. I had a look on your homepage and I found your team. I think it was altogether about 12 people, also including two professors from the ETH, actually. How did this work?
So actually, not every team member is on the website, so the team is broader than that. The company, so the technology has been established at the Switzerland Institute of Technology, so at the ETH Zurich, and the professor were involved in the basically innovation in the intellectual property creation. So then they also, early on, contributed in that sense and founded the company together with us. But they are not in the operation, so they don't have an operational role. Now they act as advisors.
I can imagine, or at least I know from very from other startups, from other projects at large companies, in the very, very early stage, it's quite important to have cool people on board who are willing to work and to sometimes really go this extra mile. How did you figure out who are the people to join your team?
So I think we besides the obviously the skills required for the specific position, we look very much at the personality, at the mindset. So someone that is really motivated from the work that we are doing, and also that is driven by the impact of the overall impact that the company can have. So again, the more environmental or ethical side of it. We seek for people that are also driven by that. Typically we look also at positively minded people, so that like can keep up with the good mood, even difficult time, and always look at the positive side of things in a way that can always drive things forward, and don't get stuck or frustrated by problems, but that have the drive to carry forward and get things done. And then that can also focus on the objectives. This is very important for us because being still a small company with, not infinite resources, it's very important that everyone has a clear goal and a clear focus. So this is another very crucial point for us.
How many people are working currently at Elixir?
So now we have roughly 12 people. There are also some interns. There are also two open positions. Sometimes it varies because maybe some intern comes, some intern leave. We have two open positions. So the team is growing, company is growing.
Who are the current owners of the company?
So the co-founders we have investors. The current investors are, we have a strategic investor that is Clariant International, a specialty chemical company. Then we have Zürcher Kantonalbank as a financial investor, and also another financial investor that is Investire.
How much did you raise so far?
So the overall amount was not disclosed, but if we put together investment round and equity free grants all together, we are around 5 million funding so far.
5 million. And are you looking for the next round to raise more money?
Yeah, so basically in 1 year from now, we will, or a little bit more, we will have to close another investment round. And yeah, we will start soon reaching out to potentially interested investors.
How much are you aiming for?
4 million.
4 million.
Yeah.
What exactly would be the next step? So what are you going to do with this 4 million?
Well, scaling Thanks. Really the operation. So we have products, we have clients that are now onboarding, and now we really need to scale the operation.
I have three quick questions for the end. Which kind of experience is your guiding star?
I don't have a specific event in mind or a specific person. I think I am driven from sport performance, for instance. So everything maybe around sport has been always inspiring and fueling my journey. So that's certainly...
What kind of sport?
I've been running since a very young age. So that's certainly my main sport and my main hobby. And I always say that there is kind of correlation between entrepreneurship and sport, because I mean, they both require quite some level, especially, I mean, if you want to achieve good result and if you want to be successful, they both require quite some level of discipline. If you do it right, then can be extremely rewarding. So that's also something that both have in common. And at the same time, things can go wrong, right? So you also need to be able to accept defeat and learn from that and come back stronger than before. So and then the social aspect also, sport, especially when it's fair played. These are all the things that I think I enjoy of my work, and that drive me.
Since you are starting the next investment round, to which investor would you like to pitch?
Yeah, so I mean, we will surely be welcoming any financial investors. And then, potentially a strategic investor that, could bring us, network and connect to potential clients. So in the field where we have big focus, that is again, at the moment, the textile and apparel.
At the Espace Lab entrance, we reserved some space for you. Which quote may we note here?
I mean, I could bring a quote from a book, which is action is about living fully, in action is the way we deny life, which is a bit the way I live, very active in everything I do. So you could reserve that quote, but it's not actually my quote. It's a quote from a book.
Action is about living fully. Mm-hmm. Inaction is the way we deny life.
Yeah.
Michaela Pudu, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.